All right, so this is going to be part two with Eli over at Free Mail and Society. I don't know where we're going to go with this one either, but we stopped talk the last one. We were talking about what water fasting.
Yeah.
So I did want to talk a little bit about if you couldn't find fruit. I know a lot of people are going to ask you this, or want something along the lines of this. If you could not find fruit anymore, like fruit just like bare shelves everywhere, like in the Netherlands right now,
Sure.
what would you go to first? I
Gotcha.
mean, obviously you're going to probably try to stay vegan as you can, but what would your first go-to be?
Yeah. And that's a very fair question too. So let's say, yeah, all the okay, so can't find fruit anywhere, or maybe the fruit you can find is just, it's just the dregs. It's just very meager.
Yeah.
Then the next option is going, okay, fine. If I can't find those, then if I can find vegetables, then more of the diet gets made up of, sorry, that's a huge umbrella that I'm
Yeah.
encompassing there. Leafy greens, celeries, or tubers, even root vegetables, right? Any of those things, then I've started to go after those a bit more. If I have to cook food, then like if we're talking tomato or sorry, potatoes and turnips, parsnips, any of your root vegetables, I eat everything raw, but I'm not going to eat those raw just because my diet's raw. It's an emergency, so I would cook those foods before I eat them. So yeah, it would be just kind of going down the line of suitability for the human physiology and seeing what I can get away with down the rung on the ladder, right? Going more and more and more towards processed canned foods or whatever you can find in that department. So if it's not fruit, I'd go after the vegetables, raw vegetables, as many or whatever I can find. If in the vegetable department in the raw world there's not enough to sustain me, then we start to go after the cooked vegetables and the cooked starches and whatnot. If there's nothing you can find there, then we can start getting into the canned vegetables. Okay. And then, yeah, after that, if things are so bad that you can't find anything in that department, then it's a free for all. Okay. I eat, eat dust, eat the skunks, eat, I don't, whatever. Just survive. Survival is way more important than, sticking to your guns and not living to see the next day, right? So, yeah, with survival, we always gotta make that sharp distinction and delineation between what is optimal and what you would do for survival, right? So someone might attack me, someone might jump me on the street because it's the post-apocalyptic Toronto scenario, and now I'm defending my, I've got a friggin' chainsaw on my arm or whatever. Okay,
This has
yeah, right. Yeah, someone might jump me and try to
escalated.
kill my, so I'm gonna fight to survive. Maybe, if I have to put a guy down, yeah, sure, I'll have to put a guy down. But that doesn't mean that you do that every day or
Yeah.
that it's justifiable every single day just because an emergency calls for that action. So we always got to make this distinction, and we always hear it all the time. Some people will challenge me. Oh, well, if there was no food around, then you would definitely eat that. Eat that lion or eat that carcass. And it's like, yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
that doesn't prove anything. It just proves that it's a desperate situation where you can't find your food. But what if you can find your food, like the situation we find ourselves the vast majority of the time, right? But yeah, that's how I would work it. I would just go fruits at first, can't find those, leafy green vegetables or any kind of edible raw vegetables. The carrots, radishes, all these kind of vegetables that you don't need to cook before you eat them.
Rabbit
Sprouts.
food, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you can't find anything there, then okay, get into the cooked starches and can't find anything there. Just go down the line until you finally get to the Twinkies and the Oreos or the chocolate bars and the power bars or whatever it is, But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, right?
Now, what do you think of the Nathan Pritikin or the Dr. McDougall who says that we evolved to eat starches primarily, and you should eat 90% starch? Or if you look at the the Asian populations prior to 1980, who lived basically 90% on white rice. What do you think of people who do that and are completely healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if somebody was healthy on that they would find benefit in going to a fruitarian diet? Or do you think that we're actually meant to eat cooked food at this point? Do you think we have, quote-unquote, evolved to that point?
Okay, so...
That's a lot of questions, I know. Yeah, that was a loaded question. Like a loaded baked potato, right?
Yeah, okay. Excuse me as I scramble to put that in a context.
I can rephrase it. The question.
Okay, all right. So... And what do I think of the Nathan Pritikin approach where it's like we are, start eating. Okay, let me start.
Yeah.
All right. No, we are not starch eaters. Yes, in terms of modern history. So if we go back in enough time in just the record of history that we conventionally have at our disposal, yes, we the successful populations were eating starches, because it made the most sense given the environment that they had to live in, right? So humans were these tropical species, were these tropical animals that we've now migrated all over the world in all sorts of inhospitable habitats that are now no longer suited to our living, right? To our existence. Anyone can prove this. We are always simulating the tropics wherever we go. So if we wear clothes in the wintertime and winter coats and hats and whatnot, what you are doing is effectively simulating the tropics. You are trying to maintain a comfortable body temperature, right? Because that's what's comfortable for a human being. What can you do? There's no argument against this, right? We just don't do well living in the top of the Arctic, right? Mm-hmm. Or the bottom of the Arctic, or just where the only place we can exist comfortably with just our skin and our birthday suits is in the tropics. Okay. This would lead us to believe that we are a tropical species, but we, because of our ingenuity, we have migrated all over the planet and now we have to make do with an inhospitable environment. And when we've done that throughout history, it is required that we use the agency of starchy foods or, things that survive on the shelf or in canisters or fermented or whatever. We do all these things so that we can survive in this climate, in this environment where there's not abundant fruit and vegetables growing everywhere, right? Especially all season long. So yes, they're not lying. They're not, they're not misleading you in that sense. Humans have been doing that for thousands of years because they've had to, okay? But because we've gone through a long period of emergency subsistence, doesn't address what we're optimally designed to do. And what we're optimally designed to do, you can corroborate just with your own senses, right? If you just take those tubers and those starches and you just pop them in your mouth and try to eat them, they are not very attractive. They're not very palatable. They're not very pleasing. They do not excite your senses in any way like natural food for your system does, like the mango or the berries from the bush or the apple, the fresh apple growing from the tree, or fresh orange. I recently had fresh oranges straight picked from the tree.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. No starch, no tuber will taste like that or excite your senses Mm-mm. like that fresh orange from the tree. It's a different experience, right? So so at odds with this theory that we are starch eaters is nothing more obvious than our very God-given senses, right? And so again, they're not deliberately misleading you. I don't think they're deliberately misleading you. And they are correctly telling you that humans have done this for thousands of years. Where they make the mistake in is saying that because we have done this for those thousands of years, it must be what is best for human nutrition. And that would be the error, right? Because we have always been in this emergency means of survival, given our limited amount of technology, you know, throughout the Dark Ages and prior to.
Yeah.
And because we're all over the place on the world where we don't have access to our natural food. So if we don't have access to our natural food anymore, especially when the winter time comes along and the fall, well, what are you going to do? You're not going to just die. You have to think of something. So we start cooking and storing starch-based foods and things that last long on the shelves, like bread products and grains and flours, right? Flour is wonderful. It lasts forever. So of course you're going to use it to survive. Survival is important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would answer that question about, are we meant to be eating starch? No, I can't in good conscience agree with that. I would say that starches and tubers and whatnot are fantastic foods if we're talking about surviving, right? Because they have, you know, they store very, very well and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Now, if people, so the other part of the question was, if people have been living very comfortable and long lives eating a starch-based diet, right?
Yeah.
Would they see a benefit in transitioning to a raw diet or a raw-based diet? And the answer, yes, of course. Unequivocally, I would say yes. Because, well, for one thing, this is just the end of one. I have noticed that, you know, I live pretty much a starch-based-ish diet, lots of vegetables and lots of starch. And I noticed, you know, symptoms go away, allergies subside, you know, all sorts of stuff. You know, the healing process goes and, you know, starts to kick into high gear. As soon as you eliminate a lot of the cooked and processed foods, because a cooked food is a processed food. Let's not, you know, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, we say processed food, and I know we both understand what we mean when we say processed food. We're not really talking about just a whole baked potato, okay? So we both understand that. But if we're being real with the definition of the word, a baked potato is a processed food, right? It's just not nearly as processed as other fractionated foods and not nearly as destructive, okay? It can be very, very health-sustaining. So yes, but will someone notice benefit by going to a raw diet from a starch-based diet? Yes, I would have to agree. In the third part of your question, would they see benefit in going on a fruit-based lifestyle? I would add caution there, and I would say yes, but not right away. It would have to take time, right? You would have to acclimatize yourself to with raw foods and a healthy variety or abundance of raw foods, even a period of mostly raw foods and a little bit of cooked starch or cooked vegetable, and live comfortably during that, you know, with that transition, live like that for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, and then let your body tell you when it's time to start making a transition into simpler and more minimal, like raw foods, or even exclusively or almost exclusively fruits, right? So in that part of your question, I would say no. I would say that they wouldn't do better going all fruit from a starch-based diet. You would need a transitionary period for it to actually be optimal, I would say.
I would 100% agree.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That if you're asking me, that's what I would say.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I noticed when I was, when I am raw, I struggle with doing it. But when I do go raw, my sleep apnea completely goes away.
Oh, interesting.
For example. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Like I've read McDougal, who's Starch Solution, who said that, you know, he's seen people lose their sleep apnea on starches, and I don't. But if I go fully raw for like a month, it goes away.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, John McDougal's stuff, I mentioned it in another, you know, I think I mentioned it in the last interview with yourself as well. But
yeah, I think we did talk about it a little
bit.
Yeah,
we must have talked about it. But, you know, in saying all everything that we did, I always recommend his material to people. Like, it's so beneficial for where we're at right now that it would be silly of us to sit here and say, oh, don't listen to McDougal. No, you know, listen to the material and just aggregate it with everything else that you're taking in, and then, you know, see what works, right? So yeah, it's still-
I don't. The only thing I don't agree with is his disdain for fruit and triglycerides and everything like that. You know, it's based on a really ridiculous study. They studied high fructose corn syrup as the, and they said that it caused higher triglycerides. And at the end of the study, it says to undo the high triglycerides, eat fruit. this is like a circle, it's just the most pointless studies that they that these people cite, and I'm like, did you read the whole thing? You know, it's like, so
it's funny. Yeah, I know I don't get it either. There's a couple people in the health community and in the plant-based, you know, vegan community that are very 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 anti-fruit, and it's
yeah,
just, I don't know where that comes from. Like, I mean,
the only thing that I can think is people think that like a green banana is fine to eat, or a lot of this stuff is picked so before it's ripe and it's so acidic and so bad for you. Like at that point, starch in my mind is better for you than an unripe fruit, especially if you get like a green banana, like don't eat it, you know, let it ripen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, if you put a gun to my head and said it's green bananas for a week or like baked sweet potato, I'm going baked sweet potato.
Yeah, but. Yeah. So I think that's where a lot of the problems come into hand with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. All right,
I'm going to get off diet altogether. You're a fruitarian. And what about the dating world? Like, would you date somebody who ate the keto diet, like the real keto, like straight up? I mean, but I mean, not that extreme, but do you look for just fruitarians or are you kind of like just, I mean, are you open to whatever?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If I were to limit myself to only fruitarians in Toronto.
Oh.
You know, I might as well just don the monk garb right now. Heck off to the mountains and just, you know, get familiar with the lotus position.
Yeah.
That's going to be the extent of my dating for the rest of my life. So realistically, if I would want a shot at having, you know, a partner like that, yeah, I wouldn't be able to restrict it to just fruitarianism. I would be happy with any kind of plant-based diet, right? It's always interesting because you obviously want to connect with someone and have a lot of similarities of interest, and you want to share common values. That stuff is all important. And so intellectually we say, okay, what would I like in a partner? I would like to see this and this and this and this, right? And at some level, yes, that's true. And you look for that in other people, but you can't discount that possibility where you meet someone and there is a resonance on some level that transcends all of that, right? There are people out there that are just happen to be perfect matches for you. And you know, this is the case. And so let's just hypothetically say it were that situation. Then my answer becomes, it's hard to tell. I don't know how I'd react because without that experience of just that perfect connection where you, that person is just amplifying all of your common energetic frequencies that you're broadcasting, and that feels good. So let's say it's that, then yeah, maybe you would be willing to not look the other way, but you would be willing to use that relationship as an opportunity to see if you can unfold the best in that person and subsequently unfold the best in yourself, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the whole dynamic changes when there's that really strong connection. Yeah. Now let's just say you don't find that. Okay. But you find something really close. You find someone that harmonizes with you on many levels, but in the diet world, they're not really doing what I do there. It's mostly plants. It's maybe a little bit of, you know, meat here or there. How would I respond to that? It would be tougher. I can definitely say that any version of a plant-based diet, I would be okay with. Okay. And I would just hope to use my you know, my influence to see if I can unfold or influence that person in the best way possible without being forceful or whatever. You know, I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna force my diet on you or anything. But you know, it very often turns out to be the case that when you're close with someone, yeah, that you're the truth that you exude, it starts to become attractive and people want to take that and learn from it and grow. And I've noticed that, and it's a good thing. And I think that's something that will just kind of naturally evolve over time. So initially, yes, I have certain limitations on what I would consider a suitable partner. If we're talking about the starch carnivore or whatnot, that's a tough sell. That's a really tough sell. So what I'd be willing to, you know, see is at least some core values in morality. And if your morality is right and the diet kind of starts to reflect that, and, you know, health is a priority, then those things are important. Like, you can work with that, right? Mm-hmm. If you have certain values that are priorities in life, that is something you can gel with.
Yeah.
But if the priorities are just really, really off, it's probably not going to work. You know, I don't know. What do you think? What do you feel?
My thoughts on it. you know, I'm coming out of a 16-year relationship here. It's ending on Labor Day. I don't really care. Like, we've been just separated, really for a few years now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to face this, actually, because the last time I was dating, I ate anything under the sun, really. And so I really don't know. Like, I always wanted somebody who lifted, but I never found that, cause that was I was a heavy, heavy lifter back in the day, but I never found that. So I'm not happy that you asked me this question. No. I don't know, you know, cause I had a chance to ask somebody out the other week. Right. Yeah. And I psyched myself out, cause I'm like, where the hell would I take you? I don't know. What do you do? So I didn't say anything. I'm just like, man, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. So
yeah.
I don't know, that this could be a very challenging position that I'm in right now. I don't know.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think the thing is I geographically, I don't care where they're at. So I think it's going to be the next place I might move is whoever I might find through whatever it happens. It might be, you know, on the YouTube or Instagram or just randomly or something like that. And I might just you know, I mean, I'm going to vet them out first, but maybe that's be the next place I go, because I really don't really care where I'm at geographically. Yeah. And I that might be it. I don't know. That is a very
it's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one. It really is, because it's not something I never cared about prior to this.
Right. Right.
You know, and she, the one that we're splitting, she is completely vegan. Completely vegan. So I didn't even have to think about it, really. She's actually kind of the reason I got into it, because of the keto, and I was having a situation with my health. And so I'm not going to ever go back.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously I don't want Miss Bacon USA, but I don't know. I don't know where that's going to lead.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. It's always a fun question, because you're dealing with a connection that really is, you know, is beyond a lot of the simple earthly contraptions.
Yeah,
and, you know, things that we associate with life. And so, yeah, that connection, it's just who knows. So it depends on the strength of that connection that will determine where everything else falls into play. And you know, we can always go for preferences, but sometimes, you know, sometimes the person that you end up either falling in love with or whatnot, they don't satisfy those preferences, but
they might not. Yeah.
Else is more important, right? So it's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. And I think most relationships start off sexually anyway.
Yeah.
Like sex is like a big thing in the beginning, and then like reality hits. And so, you know, you gotta judge, like, is it worth it? You know, is reality worth it? You know what I mean? So like,
yes.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's generally how things like start. And so, but where are they going to go after that is the key to the whole thing, I think.
Right. Yeah. That's.
I mean, really, I mean, like, that's legit. Like, where I think anyway, well, at least maybe I'm in my 40s now. Maybe that's not where it starts. I don't know. I'm used to, I haven't had to start this thing up since I was in my 20s. So,
You animal.
Yeah. But I don't know. And especially with how crazy dating is these days.
Yeah. And one of the other challenges is, again, like, well, for me, so if you're asking me, like, what are you doing on something like a date, right? Because, you know, the restaurant thing is kind of out of the picture. It's not out of the picture. It's just that sometimes I don't want to make the person feel uncomfortable if their date is that weirdo that's bringing Tupperwares full of fruit to the restaurant, right? For some people, that can be off-putting. It can be weird. It can be unattractive, whatever it is. So to avoid that, it's actually a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing because people want to do the just hang out coffee date or just, you know, go to a restaurant or whatever. But so for me, it turns into more something like, well, let's think of something fun. Let's go do some archery, just take, you know, a walk in the park or like romp in the woods or something. Romp as in like just walk around in the woods.
Right? I'm
just
sure. I get it.
That kind of thing. So like a creative type of, you know, type of day. And that usually works out really well. Those turn out to be more memorable than just, you know, whatever it is, dinner and a movie or something. It doesn't revolve around food.
Yeah, you know, we have Cedar Point here. I'm sure you've heard of Cedar Point.
Yeah,
a huge amusement park. Actually, years ago, before I met my ex-wife and everything, my first date was I took somebody to Cedar Point.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun.
And so, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they're closing up for the season coming up, but like, I mean, that, you know, something like that might be an option. Yeah. This is turning into like a dating channel here, but like, you know, but yeah, it is like, I think everybody I've got, you know, you get questions in your DMs and stuff about this, you know, like how do you date? And I'm like, I have no idea. We're going to figure this out. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay. This is a fun one. I mean, we're on the subject, might as well. Something that I did once was, you know, on a date was just draw each other. So,
oh, that's cool.
I'm not an artist. Other person's not an artist, but it's just kind of comes up. It's like, hey, you know what? What do you think about just, okay, we can have something to eat, you know, like whatever, that can pull out some snacks or whatever it is. But let's try drawing each other. Just see what happens. Oh my God, that sounds like a lot of fun. So just, you know, came by just like drawing stuff, trying to draw each other, and ended up, you know, having a lot of laughs and fun, right? So stuff like that. It kind of forces you to be a bit more creative. For, you know, when it comes to social outings and whatnot.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So I think that's going to end it here with Eli. This has been actually a lot of fun. I'm glad the dating thing came up, because I know I get a lot of questions about the whole dating thing.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That's where we're at with the whole thing. So thanks for coming on.
No, thank you so much, man. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, honestly, this has been a lot of fun. I think just organic conversations are like this are great for people to get a sense of the personalities and even to answer questions that might be lingering that you never know. You probably answered someone's question, many people's questions.
I hope so. Yeah, that's the, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is great. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. All right. So anyway, so go like, subscribe, everything. Check out the Free Melon Society on YouTube and Instagram. Check out Eli's content. A lot of good stuff there. And we'll talk to you in the next video.
Cool. Okay. Thanks a lot. And guys, we'll see you next time. Ciao.